Welcome back to Lost Legacies,
a Hidden City Book Company production.
I'm Matt.
And I'm Sam.
Well, welcome back, Sam. How's life? How's it going?
That's good. That's good. I mean, it'd be better if the show that we were talking about was...
Didn't suck.
Well, no, it's not that it sucks. It's just... It's hard.
This was a hard watch, man.
Life is hard.
Okay, before we jump in, is there anything we need to catch up on? No, that's it.
Okay. I mean, I don't know. Unless you have something. Did we talk about? Oh yeah, we talked last week. We talked about Star Trek Lower Decks being canceled.
Yep. Canceled.
I say we all make a petition not to keep it going, but to get a movie.
Dude, I would love that. Keep going as movies. Yeah, especially because they're planning to do Star Trek movies.
Yeah.
You know, straight to streaming. I'm like, okay.
Put it in the budget.
Yeah.
Put it in the little thing, you know? Yeah.
They're saying, because so far each season of Lower Decks had a poster based off the film posters.
Yeah.
They were saying we have a lot more posters to go through. I was like, yeah.
It's true.
Yeah, that's a bummer. Let me see. Other news. Absolutely nothing happened.
Yep.
Trailers or anything? No. Hey, did Abigail come out?
That's this week.
This week. Okay.
Yeah.
I kind of want to see Friday. That in theaters. Like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not that I don't know. I'm a fan of the cast. What can I say?
Yeah. This is so surprising too, because I'm just like, wow, like Matt really is like you've mentioned Abigail to me like several times. I'm like,
I love the concept.
Interesting.
The little girl turns out to be the killer, but vampire movies, okay, hit or miss. But the fact that they're locked in a mansion, boom, already interested. Boom.
Yeah.
The fact that it's a motley crew of characters who are gonna get killed off one by one, boom, I'm already in.
Okay.
Dan Stevens, Kevin Durant, Catherine Newton. I love this cast already. So
Melissa Barrera.
Haven't seen anything with her. So
wow.
I'll just say sure.
Shame.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shame,
sorry.
Shame.
She needs to do something popular.
I can't even look at you right now. I'm gonna look away for the rest of the episode. Yeah. You make that goofy face that you make all the time.
I don't know what you're talking about. You know? So yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Oh, and the guy, I guess it's his last movie, from Euphoria, who passed away. He's in there. Other than that, I don't know. I feel like something was coming in May. Something big. Well, I guess we're just gonna skip it until next week. However, I did start, if you listened last week, or if you didn't, I'll just remind you, Sam and I did record our talk about the pilot episode of The 100. As of recording this, it's not up, but as of this going live, it should be up. So I hope you enjoyed it. And if you didn't, go check it out. If you weren't here and you don't know, I'm going to be rewatching The 100 and live tweeting it. And instead of doing like just a whole other podcast for the show, Sam and I are just going to basically jump in for the season premiere and finale of each season and just kind of talk about it. Just so there's not another 100 episodes to film or record for Lost Legacies. It was kind of just to sum up that episode we did. It was kind of nice just going back and revisiting those characters again.
Yeah, it really was.
Yeah. I don't know. Even though, cause like I never finished it, but I was still, the last time I watched 100 was when it was on in 2020. So it's already been 4 years. So I know it's been a lot longer for you.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm kind of excited just because, I want to hear your thoughts. One, rewatching what you've already rewatched, you know, putting some space between that watch and this one. Just because we've both grown as like creatives, you know, or not as creatives, but creatively we have both grown, you know, and I think it's going to be kind of interesting to see how our thoughts differ from that first watch.
Yeah.
And that's something I'm going through right now when we talk about Lost, because it's been so long since I've seen Lost, you know?
Yeah.
Things I liked back then, I'm okay with now. But a lot of things I didn't like back then, I kind of dig now. Mm-hmm. So I think The 100 is going to be really interesting because it's such an up and down show. And I think we can kind of be more analytical with it because it's not Lost or Dark. Something that's like what I consider like prestige TV, even though I hate putting stuff in a tier like that. I'm like, I love this stuff, you know, and there is a kind of like nostalgia or kind of a reverence for it. Whereas The 100 is like, I love this show, but I also know what's bad TV and what's not, you know? So I think it'd be interesting to have kind of a more, I don't know, professional critiques of it instead of just kind of like, because I mean, none of the shows we've watched, we've never really, you know, shit on anything. We all like it for the most part. Yeah. And that's what I'm kind of like nervous and excited for The 100. Mm. Like, I'm pretty sure we're going to enjoy it, but I'm nervous about how much are we not going to enjoy it? Like which elements, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm nervous about. But also I think it's kind of cool because we haven't been in a situation like that on this podcast where we're not like just reviewing or talking. Like we're probably really going to critique the stuff.
Yeah.
You know, that's also why I brought in the episode, guys. I bring up a new segment. What was it called? How would I do it? How would you do it? Something like that. Basically,
that's not how I would have done it.
That's not how I would have done it. There you go. Basically, me and Sam just talking about how would we have told this story better in hindsight, you know?
Yeah.
So go check it out. And there's no rush because I was of the mindset, oh, I'm going to do 2 or 3 episodes a week. No. This past week in my schedule, I'm pretty sure I'm just going to watch 1 episode a week.
Yeah.
So Sam and I aren't going to talk about this show on the pod for a couple of months.
For a while, yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see. Take your time. Have fun. And let us know what you think at hashtag Lost Legacies. But other than that, I really don't know if there's anything else to talk about. I'm trying to stall because in a way I don't want to talk about this episode.
I hear you and I recognize that. And those feelings are valid. I validate that. I want to get into it.
Okay. Here we go. I take back everything I said about not shitting on anything.
Oh, okay.
No, I don't know. I honestly don't know how you feel about this one. Oh, Sam draws the line at suffocation by pillow, but everything else is fair game. So we'll see. All right. And, so,
you know, we got to pick our battles.
Yeah. There you go. Okay. Everyone, we were talking about Dark season 3, episode 5, Life and Death, which there wasn't a lot of life in this episode.
That's what Kat said.
There was a whole lot of death.
There's a whole lot of death.
That's my sum up. We lost 3 major characters this episode.
Wow. Just, you know, I think I've been a little frustrated since maybe like midway season 2, just because I'm like, okay, guys, we got to ramp this up a little bit. We got to get the ball rolling. And it feels like, oh, hey, yeah, we've only got 4 episodes left of the show. I guess we got to get rid of some of these people. So
I kind of feel like that. This is the first episode where we actually start to feel it winding down.
Yeah.
I love this season. I know a lot of people, this is the season they have trouble with because things get really crazy doing the whole parallel world.
Yeah.
But I think once the excitement of this mirror world and everything being slightly different, once that kind of wears off, it's kind of a tough watch because we've lost any kind of fun we've had with the story and it's just so damn dark, dark content, dark themes. I'm like, oh my God. So with this episode, it really feels like, oh, now we're starting to by killing off these three characters, like, you've essentially ended like three storylines, you know? So it kind of feels like things are starting to narrow and focus a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Man. So what were y'all's, cause you were texting me last night more than usual. Listeners, we barely text. We barely talk about the episodes before we record because we want to save it for the pod. But Sam was like texting me last night. I don't know what's happening. I'm going crazy. Yeah, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore.
Essentially, I texted you. I was going insane. Kat said that she had even less of an idea of what was going on than when we started the episode. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, I don't know. Man, this was a rough episode. You know, I think we're finally getting to see sort of like the idea that like nothing can change. Nothing that these people will do will change, because really we don't see anybody really trying to take any steps to change anything. They just keep telling us that like we've got to change, like we've got to do this, or you know, or we have like middle-aged Jonas in season one who, you know, goes on his whole journey is like, I'm gonna stop this, you know. Mm-hmm. I have to stop this now. And it's like, but then in season two it's almost like he already knows now that it didn't work. But then he's just kind of hanging out at his old house with Hannah, you know, mm-hmm. just not doing much, not really trying to figure out how to stop this again.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, but this episode and this season really does feel like it's like a darker version of the Doctor Who sort of like fixed point in time thing.
Yeah.
It's like, in, you know, in the Doctor Who universe, there are fixed points in time that no matter what happens, they will always happen and you can't change it. Even if you do somehow manage to like alter some sort of outcome, the outcome is always going to realign itself and like course correct itself.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just kind of what
it's just the writer's excuse to introduce stakes into the episode.
Sure.
Because it's like, this is time travel. If you could time travel and be so good at it, like the Doctor, you can do anything. It's like, oh, no. If this person dies, they die. We can't change that. It's a fixed point in time. Oh, yeah. We can't change this major event. It's a fixed point. You know, it's just kind of like this thing used to make things more permanent and means like, okay, if we fail, people are going to die or whatever.
Yeah.
Whereas Dark, it's like the whole thing is that. Like, I don't think we've seen any change through the show. And everyone who is trying to change things, they don't realize it, but they're doing the exact same thing they did before.
Yeah.
That's life, man.
And death.
Yeah. What do we want to talk about? Because I don't even really want to talk about any of the storylines, because it's just like, well, okay, it's over. That sucked.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's just, it's painting a very bleak picture. You know, these three kind of main characters, Jonas was a main character for sure. Mm-hmm. But then Peter and Katharina were getting there. And it's like, okay, their story's over. It seems like, yeah, there is no way out of this. Like, there is not going to be a happy ending for anyone.
Yeah.
You know? To kind of not really counter it, but to kind of more reinforce it, I'm really bummed because we got to see more of a Charlotte Prime this episode.
Mm-hmm.
And she's not really doing much this season, man. Most of our time with Charlotte has been Mirror Charlotte.
Yeah.
Charlotte Prime's just kind of like, she's in the future. She found out what's going on and she's just kind of going with the flow now.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, that sucks, man, because like she was one of my favorite characters the first two seasons.
Yeah. I feel the same way, but it is kind of a thing. It's like, you were a detective in a small town and that town's gone. Everything's dead. Everyone's dying. What are you gonna do? Mm-hmm. You know, this evil Bond villain, you know, is telling you that he's got a time machine that, you know, is going to allow him to destroy time.
Yeah.
You know, but everybody's got to do their part. And it's like, yeah, how can you not feel? Also, your daughter is your mom.
Mm-hmm.
And you're, yeah, how do you not feel helpless and hopeless, yeah, and just despondent?
Yeah. Similar to last week, we had a middle-aged Hannah get to say goodbye to her mom, Charlotte. No, not Hannah. Who's Francesca? Hannah? Francesca. I remember who Hannah is now.
Yeah.
We don't like Hannah. Middle-aged like Francesca got to say goodbye to her mom, Charlotte, which we had never seen them interact this whole time. You know, mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, I mean, that's just part. We're kind of going with the flow now. You know, we've seen mm-hmm. this before now.
It was kind of interesting because if you think about it, I feel like in that moment, Elizabeth, Charlotte, and Francesca, they're all around the same age.
Yeah, know? That's true.
And like that's such an interesting. Also, like Francesca hasn't seen her sister, you know, in so long, and it's like, man, like this,
yeah.
Like this sucks. I wish this was a longer show because I wish we could really delve into like these moments.
As hard as this season is, like I was thinking that too. Like I really wish this was a 10 episode season.
Yeah.
Because I want to follow more of these side characters just to build a world a little bit.
Yeah.
Especially because that goodbye scene, that's Mira Francesca, you know? No.
No,
it's not. It's real, it's Francesca. Not.
Yeah,
she wanted the passage. Oh, geez.
Yeah,
oh, man.
Yeah, So it's dude. So all these little moments, you know, that are just kind of tucked in there, dude. One of my favorite moments this episode is in Wind and Prime. But the past, I guess the 80s, where young Charlotte meets young Peter for the first time.
Yeah.
The bus stop. I'm like, this is wild. And it's such a small, little tender moment. Also, nobody asks, nobody likes small talk in this town, you know? Like, mm-hmm. like nobody's like, hey, where are you from? What are you doing here? Mm-hmm. Where are you going to? You know, it's like, no, it's like, do you think people can come back from the dead?
Yeah.
Like it first interaction. I'm like, Jesus.
Community. Remember, what was that with Jeff? He's like, oh, I hate small talk. And what did Jeff say?
He's like, do you have biology? And is God dead?
Yeah. I was like, oh my God.
It's like, what? I mean, okay.
Wow. Oh, man.
I hate small talk. So, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that was nice. But just Charlotte's, young Charlotte's story this episode was really interesting. So we find out, we see Tannhaus again. We hadn't seen him, like, at all this season.
Yeah.
We find out that he's not actually her grandfather.
Nope.
So his son and daughter-in-law and granddaughter were killed.
Mm-hmm.
Went off the road in a storm. They never found the baby.
No.
Oh, ran off the road by a truck or something.
By
right?
a truck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm gonna get to that.
They never found the baby. Two women show up and bring him little Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
So now young Charlotte has no idea, even more no idea who she is. You mm-hmm. know, she's freaking out. Rightfully so.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts, theories.
I mean, my initial thought is just like, man, that's wild, you know, to just like go your whole life, one, not knowing who your parents are, and then to be just thrown up with the fact that like, oh yeah, you're actually not related to me at all.
Yeah.
I have no idea who you are.
Yeah.
Baffling. Yeah. But when Tannhaus said that his son and daughter-in-law were run off the road by a truck,
mm-hmm.
instantly I was like, that's not an accident. That was that's intentional.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the moment. I don't remember if it was before that scene or after. I feel like it was before because I piece this theory together. Adam is telling Charlotte Prime sometime in the future, you know, this is what we're going to do. We're going to be free of time, blah, blah, blah. But everybody has to do their part, including you.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, Charlotte and Elizabeth use the God particle portal to go back in time.
Mm-hmm.
They are 100% the two women who bring baby Charlotte to Tannhaus. And I'm willing to bet my two front teeth. I'm willing to bet my two front teeth that Charlotte is the one that is driving the truck and runs Tannhaus's son off the road.
That's possible. That's possible. It's so, what's crazy about this show though, is that the characters fall into one of two camps. Either one, they're actively trying to change something, but they're really not. They don't realize they're doing what they always did in the previous loops. Mm-hmm. That's one camp. The second camp is people accepting fate and accepting, if I want to change it, I'm going to have to do it. I'm going to have to make sure things happen a specific way.
Yeah.
So that's going to be really interesting because and this is kind of the downside of not having Charlotte Prime in this episode. We don't know where her head's at. Like, yeah. We don't know, like, if she's put into that situation, okay, she has to run this guy off the road. Is she going to do it? Is she in the mindset that, like, I have to preserve this timeline, so I'm going to do this? Or is she more of the mindset, like, I want... So, I mean, it's like, to save my family, I have to make sure this happens.
Yeah.
Or to save my family, I have to make sure this doesn't happen. We don't know which camp she's in right now. Because he even tells her, like, you're going to have you decided? You know, are you with us? And then she doesn't say anything this whole episode. Oh, I think she asked Adam a little bit. She talks a little bit in the beginning, I think. But, yeah, like she could just be going with the flow and like with it or against it, we can't really tell at this point.
Yeah.
Hmm. But speaking of going with the flow and taking orders from others, Claudia meets Claudia this episode.
Mm-hmm.
That was nuts because we haven't seen that yet.
Yeah.
We've seen like Noah meet different versions of himself, and obviously Jonah met different versions of himself. Mm-hmm. But to see them both like similar ages, it seems, both Claudia's, I'm like, oh God, this is weird. This is weird.
Yeah. It's weird. And it's like, there's just an undercurrent of like creepiness to the mirror Claudia.
She's a little shorter. I don't know if you noticed that.
Okay.
I don't know if that's what you meant by creepy. Creepy people are short, Sam.
No, that's not what I meant.
Okay.
No, also, I just meant like the vibe, like the way she carries herself, you know, is like,
I don't know what it was. Was it the lighting or what? But mirror Claudia's eyes look straight up black.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Like, I think it was the lighting, and they probably did it on purpose because like there's this very like there's an unease to that scene. And I think it was on purpose.
Yeah.
Man. Oh, and her main takeaway is don't trust Jonas. You're going to have to teach him everything, but then you're going to have to later defy him. I'm like, oh, that's okay.
And it's so interesting that it's like in both universes, Claudia chooses to preserve the timeline.
Yeah.
Like, that mirror Claudius tells prime Claudia that like, this is what we do. This is our role. we have to preserve, we have to keep the cycle going, essentially.
Yeah. So she's basically saying we can preserve both, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's what Eve's goal is. Because she says there's the light and the dark.
Yeah.
Eve is the light.
Yeah.
So, and in Eve's plan is to essentially save both universes, both worlds. Like, for me, it did kind of also feel a little bit of like a cop out that this is where the journal comes from and it already has everything listed. So it's like Prime Claudia really doesn't have to go through anything because she's just being told what to do. And so she's just kind of like keeping that going, you know?
I guess. Well,
Well, I guess it's mostly because like it was kind of the thing when like Prime Claudia met herself, you know, back in the 80s, you know, old Claudia is in her office and she says that like, oh, like I know this is going to happen. And I know that's going to happen. You know, it's like we never see that. We never see the original time, or like we never see the original, like the very first time this has happened.
Yeah.
You know? And so I guess like that, I guess that's kind of my beef with a lot of like Claudia's stuff, is that she's supposed to be this like uber badass or something who is like preserving the timeline, who's been doing this for, you know, decades. But it feels like most of the knowledge isn't knowledge that she gained by constantly going through the loop. It's just it was all knowledge that was given to her at one point or another by somebody else.
I can see that.
You know?
True, but at the same time, like Claudia's already been through the ringer.
Yeah,
and we know she still has decades left in it, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
So I don't know, because at the same time it's like I don't know, it's like one of those things, there was no first time. There was no first loop.
Yeah.
Always been this way, you know? So again, it's kind of like John Locke's knife. Like, there is no origin to it. The very first time loop, all that info was already in there, you know? Mirror Claudia was probably writing it down, you know? Prime timeline, Prime Claudia was just following directions in the thing. And I think that's just, that's kind of why I'm cool about it too, because we have these like higher, quote-unquote opinions of everyone. Like, these people are Claudia, Noah, they all like they're time travelers. What do they know? And then we just find out like, oh, they're all just following directions from different people, you know. It all comes down to Adam and Ava, and that's kind of why I'm okay with it, because it's like, oh, okay, again, she was just another pawn in this whole puzzle.
All right. I'll accept that. Yeah.
There was no first time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
You texting someone mid-show?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I'm texting the creators. Guys, y'all should have handled Claudia's story better. No, I'm looking at my notes.
Oh, okay.
Damn, Jonas, not very romantic. That was pretty awkward when they woke up the next morning after having sex and they just kind of look at each other. Granted, I get the awkwardness, but then also, like, he's like, we got to go to the power plant and save the world.
I'm like,
oh, okay, fine. And he gives her the coat, the raincoat, and then walks out. I'm like, okay, fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? Oh, and then they both run into the mom downstairs. Yeah. Like, that's awkward. So I don't even know if they brushed their teeth. Gross.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Sickos, teenagers, youths.
Yeah.
I had a thought.
Uh-huh.
I was like, is any of this like romantic? Like, could, like, you know how like we've talked about like our greatest couples in like fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Could we consider any of this to be like romantic in any way? Because like, there's a part of me that's like, this, like, there is, but there isn't. Like, it's sick,
but I love it. But I think
it's this is the definition of star-crossed lovers,
man.
Oh, because if you take Jonas and Martha Prime, yeah, mm-hmm. there was still love there, you know, and there's mm-hmm. there's this cuteness to it because it's first love. That's their story.
Yeah,
but now it's Prime Jonas and Mirror Martha, and it's more situational,
mm-hmm.
you know. I think it's more the situation.
Yeah.
You know, like Jonas is in love with his Martha, not this one.
Yeah.
That might slowly be changing.
Mm-hmm.
But as we even find out this episode, like at the end of the day, his objective is to save his world. Because Martha calls him out on that. She's like, mm-hmm. what if we can only save one? And he doesn't answer. And she knows his answer.
Mm-hmm.
She's gonna choose. He's gonna choose his world, his Martha.
Yeah,
Jonas,
Jojo, buddy, my guy.
There's nothing for you there.
I get it, man.
Nature. You're a freaking nature in that world.
But he is in this one too. He's in this one too, and this one's even crazier because there is nothing for him here.
There's a Martha who isn't his aunt though. There's a Martha who isn't technically his aunt.
I thought about that, but how much of your genetic DNA changes between worlds?
I mean, okay, look. Yeah, sure.
I'm pretty sure they're still blood related on some microscopic scale.
But that's so small. That's so tiny. You know, it's not as bad as what it was in the Prime Wind then.
That's true, you know? But I think it's his Martha and his dad, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's kind of his anchor points. Those are his constants.
True. Yeah. But, yeah, true. You know, yeah, I am being facetious, but like in my mind, it's just like, you know, everybody he knows and cares for is dead.
Well, yeah, but I think that's what he's fighting for.
Well, yeah.
I don't think he's fighting to go back to the 2050s Winden. I think he's still fighting to stop everything, to go back and stop it.
Yeah.
You know? Which, I mean, that's such a coming-of-age story, know. You know?
Yeah.
Like he's coming of age, and that trying to hang on or recapture youth or that innocence, that world, you know, I think that's kind of one of the overarching themes through this, maybe, mm-hmm. you know, just very extreme, you know, this time traveling kid who's been put in this situation that's just out of control.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, you know, what he wants. He wants his father back, you son of a bitch.
True. Time travel in The Princess Bride?
Yeah.
More likely than you think. Man. Yeah. No, I get it. You know, this is so fascinating because it's like, I don't know if it's just like, this might be like a Germanic thing, you know, or like a regional thing or a cultural thing, but it's like this definitely does feel like a coming of age story, but the German way. We're not going to sugarcoat things and say they're like, oh, it might turn out okay. Things might be okay. It's like, no, this is life.
Yeah.
You know, it's a fairy tale, but it's the old fairy tale that was meant to scare children to stay on the path.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Not the Disney song filled one. You know, it's like, this is what we told our kids in the middle of the night so that they could go to sleep.
Right.
You know? And yeah, I just, it sucks. And it sucks thinking about it. The number three is a very traditional fairy tale number. You know, it's the number of three little pigs. It's usually the number of tasks or challenges that, you know, people have to do in their stories. And we got three deaths this episode that all feel in a way what Ava is telling Jonas at the end of the episode. about the three lives that man leads.
Yeah.
You know, and it does really feel like every person who dies leaves somebody behind who now has learned those three lessons.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, won't really touch on, I mean, you know, I know we were joking, you know, at the start of the episode, it's like, oh, Sam draws the line at, you know, suffocation by smothering, you know, mm-hmm. but everything else is fair game. It's like, no, sexual assault is something that should still be taken seriously.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't want to just jokingly play that out. Mm-hmm. What happened to Elizabeth sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God Peter came in the nick of time when he did, but it sucks that that's how she loses her dad.
Yeah, dude, such a, like, it wasn't as long, but his death scene was, it took me back to that scene in Saving Private Ryan. Mm. Like the slow knife scene. I'm like, oh, yeah. Oh God. You know?
Yeah.
Like it was so well done, you know? It sucks to watch, but so well done. You remember that. Everybody remembers that scene from Saving Private Ryan, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone talks about like the gory beach scene at the beginning, but like what's really haunting was that knife scene. You're like, oh my God, because it's so slow. And that really reminds me of Peter's death. And that sucked, man. It was, that whole scene though was just the way they, everything about the show, dude, the acting, in this case, in that scene, the lack of music, mm-hmm. The directing. And I made the note too that this episode really, or not this show, really, this show really, it takes its time. Hey, what's that clip? Is it David Lynch where they're saying, you know, we could shave 2 seconds off of this clip?
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen that clip?
Yeah.
And he's like, what is it with making things shorter? I don't fucking care. Blah, 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 blah. That's exactly what I was thinking with Dark. I'm like, they linger. And they let the actors linger. They let the actors take dramatic pauses that feel real. It's not for drama. You can tell, you can see them thinking about their response, you know? And there's so many moments like that in this show, but especially this episode where I was like, wow, if this was an American thing, they probably would have just cut to the next scene.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking about that a lot. That scene in particular, the scene where Marta and Jonas are talking to each other right outside the cave, like, that I was like, this was even just in like the way they like they edit, you know, it's like, mm-hmm. there are shots that linger for so long before going to the next cut, even in the same scene. And like that's the, like, this is some filmmaking going on right here. You know, this is, there's some real artistry going on.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think serves this story so well.
Yeah. Yeah, it fits this, like, just the world of Dark, mm-hmm. you know, because you could even make the excuse that, or not excuse, but make the case that, like, it lingers like a second too long.
Yeah.
And that's the point. It's supposed to make you a little uncomfortable, you know, or in the case of like Jonas and Martha, like I was just so in those scenes, man.
Mm-hmm.
They had like, there's like three scenes, you know, mm-hmm. like that. Well, there's the one in the bedroom where they didn't really say much to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Then the one outside the fence of the nuclear plant, and mm-hmm. Jonas realizes, oh crap, I'm playing into the game. I'm doing exactly what they want me to do.
Yeah.
And then he falls into the trap. And then there was the one outside the cave.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, oh, man, it's – yeah, dude, I don't know. But yeah, okay, so Peter's dead. So now this is how we see at the end. Awesome montage again. What's the music? It was how do you say it? Hozier?
Hozier, yeah.
Hozier. I don't remember the song. I didn't write it down. Oh, it's called In the Woods Somewhere by Hozier. So Elizabeth is now with young Noah in the cave.
Mm-hmm.
Old Urich, he's just left waiting, man. In the home, or in the, yeah, The hospital.
Yeah.
Damn. Oh, when we were saying, like, what does Jonas want? I'm like, dude, what he wants is to go back to the way things were before. He wants to go back to the beach when he was with Martha. And I'm thinking, which is where Katarina got killed.
Yeah.
And I was catching all these things before because I remember in the beach episode last season, they mentioned that you're like, oh, did you hear about this lake is haunted by the woman? You know, sometimes you could see her at the bottom.
Oh my God, I forgot about that.
I was like, oh, and his Magnus telling the story. I was like, oh crap.
Oh, he's telling that story about his mom.
Yep.
Oh mm-hmm. no.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I have to say about that. Here's what I have to say about this whole little wet sea plot.
Mm-hmm.
Hannah is the real villain of this show.
Totally.
The gall, uh-huh. Just the nerve to insert herself into this one family's life so much that she inadvertently sort of befriends and then inspires Katarina's mom to name her daughter Katarina and just and to say nothing else of everything else that Hannah's done to this family. That mom, and I don't know what's up with her mom. Her mom is just crazy.
She's been through the ringer, man.
You know, and she's like, well, because she's even, you know, when she gets, you know, when she gets one up on Katarina, you know, she's like, I killed you. I stopped you, you know. And,
oh,
and
then she says, you're the devil.
Yeah,
you've been sent by the devil, blah, blah, blah. I got rid of you. I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, my God. What's going on with this woman, you know?
Yeah.
And then immediately to go from like, I murdered somebody and threw their body in the lake to I'm going to go home and berate my teenage daughter and Dude. Say that I should have aborted you.
Yeah. And she like, beats the crap out of her and says,
you're not worthy of the name you were given.
Yeah. I'm like oh my God.
I hate this show. I love this show, but I hate this show. It's so
brilliant, man. Like,
and like, I don't really remember where this was or when it was told to me or something, but I remember having a conversation and it was pointed out that like in a lot of cases, it at least in like Hollywood cinema or something, there's usually no shot of an empty room. Mm-hmm. There's always somebody in there. There's always something in there. So when there's not, you know, when there's where there's an absence, you know, or like people leave and we stay in the room, like that means something. And I'm like, oh, okay, yeah. And now, you know, since then I've like caught on to that. I think it's such a genius move to like, I think this is where the montage starts, to start the montage off at the lake, at a still lake at night, knowing like if somebody just walks into the room, you know, it's like your roommate walks in and you're just like, hey, what are you watching? Like, huh, that's weird. Like, why is it just the shot of a lake? Like nothing happens.
Mm-hmm.
But we, the audience, know that there's a body in that lake. We, the audience, know the person who went on that journey, how they got there. This is how it ends. And just the image alone, like I was like, wait, is something going to happen? Something's gonna happen, right? And then I have to remember like what show I'm watching and what universe I'm in, and it's like no nothing happens,
and that makes it worse, and you're like, and
that makes it worse, like again, like it's the way this series captures dread in just a still nighttime shot of an undisturbed lake. There was a pit that opened up in my stomach.
Yeah.
At that point, and I'm just like, oh my God, this show, man.
And then to see in the montage the dead characters and then the live ones in the mirror universe, It's like, mm-hmm. oh, geez, man. Mm-hmm. Oh, and we didn't mention it. This episode starts with it saying in the Mirror Universe, one day until the apocalypse.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, crap. It's tomorrow.
Yep. It's tomorrow. It's tomorrow in Mirror Winden.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, okay. We tiptoed around it long enough. We got to talk about the murder of Jonas Cornwell.
I don't even know where to begin.
He's our lead, man.
He's our lead.
He's our favorite one. Like,
what happens in the next? He's just a boy. He's just a boy. What happens in the next,
three episodes?
Don't say it. Stop it.
You asked.
I know I asked. Don't tell me that. What happens in the next three episodes of the show without Jonas?
Yeah.
Like, bold move, I'll say. Right out mm-hmm. the gate. Bold move. Wow. You took away the character who's been in pretty much every episode.
Dude, so sad, dude. Like,
yeah. And, you know, it's not old Marta, Eva, who shoots him. No. It's not even middle-aged Marta who, like, miraculously just show up. It's like, oh, this is like, you know, oh, fixed point in time moment coming up. We got to go time travel so that we got to be here for the murder of this dude. No, it's like not too distant future Marta with a gnarly fresh scar on her face.
Yeah. Dude, Lisa Vicari, man, just her acting
and
to play. So this was the second scene where we've had the same character about the same age in the same scene.
Yeah.
And that was just like to see the two of them and to see current Mirror Martha kind of have her shit together more. She's like, she's more pissed. Like, what the hell are you doing? But to see slightly older Mirror Martha with the scar, like looking traumatized even before she shoots Jonas. I'm like, oh my God, dude, like what has happened to her?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And then just the symbolism, you know, of that final shot, you know, where after he's given Mirror Marta the St. Christopher medal, it's a craning shot overhead where we see his body just lying there on the tile in front of everything.
The family trees.
Yeah, the family tree of both universes. And he's just there dying at the center of it. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Incredible. I don't know what's happening. I don't know why this is happening. I understand. And I can see why, you know, there's a lot of jumping around, you know, there's a lot of stuff that you got to keep, you know, keep in there. And I think even for guys like us, we're like, ooh, that's a lot, you know? So, you know, for other people, you know, who may just casually watch the show, it's like, yeah, I can understand that's a lot. But I think just for stuff like this alone, you know, just like, even if you don't really get it, just keep watching.
Yeah.
You know, you miss out on so many great moments, you know.
I posted on Instagram a couple of days ago a link on Instagram that's saying fans voted and Dark is their favorite Netflix original show.
Yeah.
And I posted it. I was like, hell yeah. And I had a dear, close, personal friend, a best friend for most of my life, responded that she couldn't finish it. She loved the first two seasons, but she just could not understand season three.
Yeah.
Like, just keep going. I'll say this, not trying to defend it or justify it or anything, but, and I think you already know this, the show's great. I love it. But at the same time, I think it's even better the second watch through.
Yeah.
Because you know what's coming. And you can see all the clues. You can see all the references, you know? I don't know. It's in a few weeks, when we finish the show, we're going to have some interesting discussions. Stop. And how like some of the clues and even now stuff we've already seen, how it's already been teased for so long, mm-hmm. you know, even the idea, I won't say anything else, anything more than that, but the fact that there's a mirror world, just the fact that there's two worlds, there were clues back in season one that I didn't pick up on until this rewatch. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. Huh. Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's all I'll say about that.
Really? Back in season one? Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you about it.
Damn it.
When we talk about the last episode.
Yeah. Okay.
Because there's one instance in particular where I'm like, oh, wow. Okay. So, yeah, man, I don't. Those are my notes. Other than Katharina needed to be more did she was so obvious trying to follow her mom. I'm like, dude,
yeah,
you're not going to try and like hide. Like, what was your plan?
Yeah. Yeah. Just like, don't wait for her to like get too far ahead of you and then just stand there and then go chase her. Like, no, yep. Do, you know, jump out of the bush and then, you know, I don't know, mm-hmm. hire up or something. You don't have to kill your mom. Just,
right,
higher up and steal your key card, you know, that's it. You're gonna leave this time anyway, so like, yeah, you're fine.
Yeah,
but yeah.
Oh man. Okay, so do you have any predictions for the next three episodes?
I mean, I gave some. Honestly, I don't know. I'm still on my initial theory that this is all going to end in like a, you know, we go back to the beginning, but something is different. And now, you know, we get to, you know, ponder the outcome or whatever. I mean, I don't know. Maybe somehow Jonas survives. Hmm. And he and Marta really do become like Adam and Eve and, I don't know, give birth to all of time and space. I don't know.
I'm writing this down.
Okay. Right. Yeah, man. I don't know.
Okay. Noted. I'm sure we'll find out next week.
Sure.
When we talk about Dark, mm-hmm. season 3. Mm-hmm. Episode 6, Light and Shadow.
Ooh.
Where it's the day of the apocalypse. Again. And that means if next week's is the apocalypse, we still have two more episodes after that.
Yeah.
So then what?
See, this is the thing too. Like, it's the temporal decay. Mm-hmm. Oh, that was the thing. We didn't even talk about that. The two Claudias. They mm-hmm. were talking about residue. They're talking about residue
Each time. What was it?
Because it's like every time the portal closes and then opens. So every time middle-aged Jonas goes and destroys the portal mm-hmm. and then it gets reopened again.
Yeah.
Every time it creates more and more of this like residual energy
mm-hmm.
that stabilizes the bridge between the two universes.
Mm-hmm.
So in order for both universes to survive now, because now they're in sync, that has to keep continuing.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. I like how they were the ones to talk about that, because it's such a nerdy thing, but like they were the head of the nuclear power plant. They would know this stuff.
Yeah.
So when Mira Claudia starts talking about that, Claudia Prime figures it out. She's like, oh yeah. Okay, mm-hmm. residue. Okay, this and that. Okay, I really mm-hmm. enjoyed that. I was like, okay,
yeah, cool. I really liked that too. But like it feels like it's sort of like the strain of the loops
I think, you know, like we've been saying, it's like it's seeping into life. It's seeping into just everything. And I feel like that's why everything just feels so brutal. Everything just feels so dark.
Yeah. So Stranger Things, when you think of the Upside Down, mm-hmm. the Upside Down is essentially like a decaying, corrupted version of our world.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's kind of like that, except it's not literal. It's not mm-hmm. an actual dying, corrupted world. It's more like it's our quote unquote souls that are decaying, dying, yeah. you know, and corrupted. Like whatever that means, you know, we don't really have a specific definition for soul, but it's mm-hmm. like our essence. That's what's becoming corrupted. And I really like that. I love that.
Yeah.
You know, as a storytelling thing, I don't wish that for anyone.
Sure.
Yeah. But I think it's such a cool way to, there was a show, a reaction show to Dark. I won't really mention it because this isn't a highlight, but one of the guys was saying, everyone liked it, except this one guy was like, yeah, it was okay. He's like, but I feel like, I don't know, it kind of fell apart, blah, blah, blah. It didn't really feel unique or original enough. I was like, what? I'm like, what other time travel show is out there that features something like this where it's like time itself is like dying, you know?
Yeah.
It's us. That's why there's so many references to God, because in this world, they don't actually believe in God. To them, mm-hmm. God is time itself,
mm-hmm.
you know? So to think of time as this sacred thing and then to see it corrupted, that's just kind of mind-melting. I'm like, please tell me, what other show did you watch where that was a thing?
Yeah. You know?
Like, yeah, I don't know. I get it. You're just too cool for the show. I was gonna tease next week, but I already did that.
yeah, you know, great time having a.
Yep. Moral of the story: don't leave your kids alone in the apocalypse.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is crazy because now that I'm watching 100, which is post-apocalyptic.
Yeah.
Because it's after, right?
Yeah.
Or so you think.
Oh gosh. No, no. Don't make it sound more interesting than it is.
Okay. We'll find out next week.
Oh god.
No, we'll find out tonight.
No, we won't.
Cause I'm gonna be live tweeting the 100 tonight. okay, everyone. We hope you enjoyed it. Let us know what you think is going to happen in the final 3 episodes of Dark.
But no spoilers.
No spoilers, just send us your theories. And hashtag Lost Legacies, that's where you'll find us. I'm on Twitter at _MattJimenez and on Instagram at Holy Hand Grenade of Antioch.
And you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Threads at Real, that's REEL, Texas Weirdo.
Until next time,
going dark.
Get grounded.